Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this session, which is called Why We Must Stop Advertiser-Funded Trolling. And I'm really glad that lots of you gave up your lunchtimes, the important quantity of food, to come and talk about this issue, which we at Advertising Week think is hugely, hugely important. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of an explanation about what we're doing here, who these amazing people are, and what we're going to talk about today. But I thought, first of all, I'd change it up a bit and sum it up with a video and a song. This is a song I really like because I think it perfectly encapsulates what we're going to talk about today. This is a song by Sophia Rosella called Everybody Loves Women. And we're going to listen to the start. Okay, guys, roll the track.
Everybody supports women until a woman's doing better than you. Everybody wants you to love yourself until you actually do. It was something about it, it was so perfectly fallen. She was nice and smart and funny and got everything she wanted. She's a cherry. It's not the most obnoxious thing you've heard. Her popularity, she's too pretty for her own good. She's probably self-centered, we hate her, and she's nothing. If everybody leaves her, then she had it coming.
Okay, before we go fully Mo in the room, I really love this song because I think it perfectly encapsulates that idea of when people get popular, the kind of human need to tear down people who previously we celebrated, which is going to be one of the themes we touch on today. So I'm going to introduce some of the people I have with me today. Nishma Rob, she is the president of Wackle. She also runs her own business, but for the purposes of this talk, she's representing Women and Wackle, which is a community of senior women who campaign really for equality within the industry. We have Liz Fraser. She is a journalist, a broadcaster, an author, and she's going to speak about some of her own experiences here today. We have Jake Dubbins. He is one of the co-founders and co-chair of the Conscious Advertising Network, as well as having your own job as well, Jake, but we're not worried about that here, who do an amazing amount of work campaigning for advertising to really have ethical standards and conduct itself properly. And we also have the fantastic Ellen Scott, who is the digital content director at Stylist, who, as well as being an Advertising Week partner this year, hugely champion women in all their editorial. So hopefully it's pretty obvious why we're all here, but let's talk about why this matters so much. Nishma, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I think sadly, it's all far too common in terms of what women are facing. You know, I think that video tells it perfectly, that sense of cultural behaviour of tear down. And it doesn't just happen in the workplace. We know, sadly, it starts actually in the playgrounds. But this idea that social media anonymises what we can say and do to each other with no consequence is not just damaging to the individuals. I think it's incredibly damaging to society and is not really what technology was designed or there for. And it's a huge responsibility, I think, not just of the tech companies and the platform providers, but on individuals and on education as well. And that kind of trolling, that kind of hatred, the constant and sometimes drip feed of abuse that so many women face. And abuse feels like, sometimes people feel that's a really big word, but actually those microaggressions that people can face have a significant consequence on people's confidence, on their ability to live a daily life or progress in their careers. So when we say to women, you know, be tall, be proud, you know, go for those opportunities, absolutely, it's what we want to do. But if you forget that there is a negative, there is the reality of what people are facing. Actually, a lot of women just want to be small. They want to hide away, sit under the radar and not do that. So it's a critical issue if we're going to look at societal and business progress in the future.
And I think it's a really important thing to say that one of the reasons we're here is because lots of this trolling is being supported by advertisers who I believe do not actually know they're on a lot of these sites. So I don't know if you guys are aware, maybe you could raise your hands. Are you aware of sites like Tattle Life? So some of you may be aware of these sites. Lots of you maybe for good reasons are not aware of this, but this is where a lot of kind of gossip occurs about women, and Liz will speak about some of her experiences on those sites. But I had a look today at Tattle Life. I actually had a look, Liz, at you on Tattle Life. And the kind of brands I saw advertising against trolling were some of the brands who I know and I believe wouldn't want to be associated with that kind of talk. But brands like Gymshark, Fiverr, Adobe, Monday.com, not small brands, not people who don't care about their reputation, global brands who really, really do. So I'm going to ask at this point, Liz, could you talk a bit about your experiences?
Yeah, I will. Hello, it's really nice to be here. I'm way out of my comfort zone, so I'm quite nervous. So excuse me if I go all over the place. As Ruth said in her introduction, I'm a writer, I'm a broadcaster, and I'm going to tell you in like 1 or 2 minutes a little bit about me because it's relevant to what's happened to me and why I'm sort of not, I'm not a big A-list or anything like that, and it can happen to anyone. So I have 4 children, which is important where we come to this trolling and abuse. 3 of them are adults, 26, 24 and 20, and I have a 6-year-old daughter. I'm a single mother now, and I live alone with my 6-year-old child. And though I've written best-selling books and I've written magazine articles and newspapers and blah, blah, I'm a strong woman. I hope to qualify for England Athletics this year in half marathons. I'm going to be 50 this year. So to the outside world, I look like I've got it all sorted, you know, everything great. And, you know, I do cope with things very well. I'm also, and it's well known because I wrote a book about it, so my abusers are aware of this. I am the survivor of years of domestic abuse and domestic violence, which will reduce anybody to, just being alive. And despite all of that, I found myself only a few months ago in the bath in the evening, so utterly broken by the online abuse and trolling of me that I honestly didn't know, like, how can I ever have a life? How can I ever step outside my door? How can I go anywhere with my child without it being all over gossip sites, what I look like? And we're not just talking playground bullying and bitching and gossiping, you know, yes, I'm thin, or I have perimenopausal teeth, apparently, which I then became obsessed about. Do I have perimenopausal teeth? What is that? You know, my hairline is receding, or my, you know, you can see the veins on the backs of my hands. It's not all that crap. You know, we don't care about that. What actually, the levels that this goes to, and I was made aware of it by friends of mine who contacted me to say, Liz, I've been sent a direct message by somebody linking to a thread about you on this site or that site. I was like, what? This was a while back. And when I started to read that stuff, which is on a public platform with advertising, with a large amount of money supporting this abuse, we are now talking, they have contacted people I used to work for to try to discredit me, contacted my child's school because I'm a parent governor there. They will contact the social services. They will try everything to stop my life, to cut off my source of income, which of course then was cut off anyway because it affected my health so badly that I couldn't work. I couldn't deliver anything on time because it just, however strong you are, it just actually destroys you. And the last thing I want to say, because I'll be talking forever, is that it's not simple enough to say, don't look at it. You know, if it were that simple, you talk to any psychotherapist, it's not that simple. We all look at the car crash when we drive down the motorway. We don't want to, but we do. Imagine that was your family. Imagine that right now I could pick up my phone and I could go on this website and I could read, thank God she's lost custody of that child. Oh my God, you know, that child had a nightmare with Liz being dragged around her running buggy. No, I haven't. She lives with me. It's fine. I'm with my child making dinner for her, but it's all over the webs, you know, the internet, that I've had my child taken away from me simply because I don't speak about my parenting at all because it's private. So while my life was being absolutely destroyed in my local community as well, if I I was spotted in a cafe alone. She looks deranged. I really hope her family's organising an intervention. She looks mad. She's clearly breaking. From that to, you know, my employers, my book, we pulled the paperback of my last book because we couldn't risk it. I closed a publishing company that I set up because I couldn't risk what was coming into me was actually from trolls. It devastates your life. And what? So while that's happening to me, these websites are making loads of money off advertisers, you know? So how can that be right? What have I done? I've stopped looking at it. So I've really stopped looking at it. It's detox. That's it. I will not look at it ever again. You can hold me to that. But it was very hard to do that. Very, very hard. And I don't want my children ever to go through this. I don't want anyone in this room ever to go through this. But until I realize that the only reason this exists is because there's money behind it, because brands are unknowingly, I'm sure, in many cases, pumping money into these websites, which kill people like me and everyday ordinary people. We're never going to stop people bitching. People have been bitching since they could open their mouth. It's a sad thing about humans, but humans do attack humans. We're not going to stop that, but we can stop the platform. And I'd like to be in touch with anyone in this room who wants to talk to me after this, but we'll talk about that later, just to work together on this.
Perfect. And hopefully everyone in this room will get the sense of why I asked Liz. And thank you for joining the panel, because I know it's a very personal story for you. Because I think it is really important to talk about the personal costs that sometimes advertising pounds, dollars can support if advertisers are not aware of where they're spending their money. Now, Jake, this is something you campaign on. And one of the reasons I asked you here is we'd love to start an industry-wide movement to stop advertiser-funded trolling. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Liz, and massive respect to Liz for coming out and talking about this stuff from a personal point of view. This stuff is a global health emergency, is how, you know, we've talked about it before, which is, you know, this is happening at scale to women in the public eye for simply existing. You know, we've had a look at some of those sites as well, and obviously looking at different, you know, people within the public eye. You know, the trolling, the abuse is horrific. And it is. It's brought to you by the brands that Ruth talked about. It's also brought to you by Nike, who have a pretty strong record on equity. And, you know, Serena Williams is one of their biggest, you know, stars. It's brought to you by KFC. You know, this is these brands are ultimately funding this stuff. But also, you know, it's across the whole of society. We do a lot of work in climate, and we're working with climate scientists. UNESCO on Press Freedom Day came out and said that 70% of climate journalists have been attacked in the last 5 years. Guess what? Most of them are women. You know, you've got deepfake and AI. Lots of talks about AI, I'm sure, about here in Advertising Week. They're all through the year, you know. Recently, a Taylor Swift deepfake porn shot was viewed 47 million times on Twitter. This is a misogynistic global health crisis, and it is wholly funded. It is an economic model. You know, there are tons and tons of people going to this, and it is all monetized, and that needs to stop right now. So yeah, we campaign on this stuff. We really want to drive visibility and transparency through this. We don't think that brands know exactly where their ads are, but they know that they are at risk. And the current systems, the current checks and balances are just simply not good enough. Tech is not just going to solve all of this stuff. It needs humans in the loop. It needs responsibility, and it needs brands to take responsibility for their supply chain.
I agree. Now, Ellen, you come from a slightly different world, which is the media, which is obviously much more regulated than social platforms. But do you want to speak to me about some of the experiences you've had with both yourself and the work you've done?
So I've had a lot of trolling / abuse online, unfortunately. Previously, I was working at Metro for 7.5 years, which is obviously a huge platform. And as a result, I got a lot of death threats, abuse, calling me ugly, stupid, terrible at my job, calling for me to be fired, all the kind of classic troll tactics. And the thing that is always surprising to people is that it's for the most innocuous thing. So I've had trolling for saying that I don't really like sourdough toast at brunch. Like, that was a really offensive thing to people. The worst death threats and threats of physical violence I received were because I went on Good Morning Britain and suggested that clapping is not, you know, an essential thing because some theatres wanted to do non-clapping events. That got so much anger and hatred. It was astounding. But then as an editor, I also see it, especially with writers and women of colour, will find that they can write the most innocuous, neutral thing and they will get much worse abuse than I would for saying something quite controversial. And it's absolutely astounding. And it's concerning in the world of journalism because it does prevent us from publishing certain things. It makes us start to go, oh, we maybe don't want to touch that because we know it's going to cause controversy and I'm not willing to put a writer through that anymore. So there's obviously a lot of safeguarding that we do, especially as stylist, but the knowledge of how wrong it can go, I think, is preventing us from putting out really great work a lot of the time.
And I think actually, I think something that both of you, Jake and Ellen, just referred to is this is almost like a health crisis, a mental health crisis that we should be concerned about, that people are spewing such hate online and that we are accidentally, because I don't believe the brands I read out have any idea that they are next to this kind of content, that we are accidentally in the advertising industry supporting, even passively. Nishma, what can we do about it?
So I was at Google when we faced the YouTube brand safety crisis.
There was a reason I asked you this question. I thought, yes, this is a woman with experience.
And, you know, so having the knowledge of actually what and how we dealt with that. So first of all, you say, there are no tech platforms. And I'm not going to say no publishers because there are some publishers who have a different thing. But in terms of just technology, who set out to say we want to do that. I'm not saying that some technology firms may have been turned a blind eye to some of these algorithms. It was not something we did at Google or YouTube. But we had to work, to your point, Jake, we couldn't just put technology in place. We had to put people in place. The issues that we were facing into at the time were mainly about terrorism. They were abuse and sexual images with children. You know, it was the kind of stuff, the horrible things we see in society that would pop up. And it was like whack-a-mole. They'd put a new channel up. People were buying media programmatically and they would appear. The efforts we went to at Google and YouTube at that time and continuing since then were a big shift, you know, and we kind of set the marker for the industry to talk about how trust and safety was a critical part to the way the platforms need to be developed. You do as much as you can. And actually YouTube now, you know, 98-99% of terrorism content doesn't get through the system even. And they're still checking and chasing. The challenge is you've got to kind of work through every evil that exists. And the other platforms, I don't think, again, they're doing a job. They are, no one is complacent in this space. The challenge I have, and I think what we can do very actively, because I've seen it happen, is when the advertising industry and brands come together and they use the might of money, stuff happens. And there is a lack of consciousness because we are buying at scale media and opportunities to reach audiences, which means the old days of an intention of knowing exactly where your ad was going to appear in every single publication doesn't necessarily exist. And you have to be careful around the whitelisting or blacklisting of sites that have happened, because actually you can cut off opportunities of content and audiences that can be really lazy. My belief is you do have to start really consciously funding some of the titles that you talked about that, to be fair, most people in this room are not reading and consuming, because that is the only way it will change. And I can liken it back to the gossip mags of probably about 10 years ago, when the gossip mags were weighty tomes you'd pick up on the newsstand and we would giggle at horrible pictures of mainly women and telling terrible stories. And when there was a social consciousness about this, funnily enough, it wasn't that the publishers got a conscious straight away or there was consumer pressure. It's because brands got conscious and said, we are not going to place our money there anymore. And they moved their money and funnily enough, those mags dwindled and they still exist, but in a much, much smaller form. I think to the work that Jake's doing brilliantly, we can do. So as a marketeer, I often talk about very positively. It's interesting to talk about the negative. I talk really positively about the fact that as marketeers, we have a choice about the money we spend. So when you spend, particularly on some of the platforms, TikTok, you know, Spotify, YouTube, whatever it might be, you're consciously helping support creators who may be diverse, who aren't getting commissioned elsewhere. And you're not just supporting them, they're supporting the ecosystems and communities they support. Well, if we can do that for good, we can do it for bad. And there is technology that I worked on when I was at Google, which is definitely trying to catch the trolls at the point. There are education programs that we were working on, which still need to go much further, way, way further. I know there's a lot of campaigning at the moment about whether children under the age of 16 should have mobile devices and access to social. My children will hate me for saying this because I say it all the time. I firmly stand in the belief that they should not have access to social media without the right training and licenses. You wouldn't give kids keys to the car. Why do we give them the world in their pocket? So I think there are a number of measures. Support the education that's happening, lobby for more of it, ask questions of your platform providers and publishers and be clear about what you can do. Be conscious about where you're spending your money and cut it off. We have a plethora of choice now. We don't need to fund that. And the other thing is I think we as lobbying and create more consciousness about consumers and technology about what more can be done to stop the hatred. Because I agree with you. You're not going to change humanity and humanity behaviour. We can change what we fund. We can change what we support and prioritise and look after. And we can make a conscious decision about how we do this.
So Liz and Ellen, I particularly like from your perspectives, what are the things you'd like if we took away from this room? What's it that you would like to see happen?
I think the first thing is to raise awareness of the seriousness of it. Really, that's why I wanted to come here today, to see this absolutely as passive smoking, as dangerous driving. It costs lives. People take their own lives and families and lives are destroyed. So it really to put that out there now, we need to stop as if, oh, yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. OK, it's terrible. What you just said, Nishma, there was really, really positive, actually, I think, in terms of consciousness, you know, because you can change the public's and the advertisers and the brands' feelings about something. And I want to see who are going to be the brands, who are going to be the advertisers and the companies who are going to put their hands up and put their money forward and say, we want to be seen as the brand who is absolutely taking the lead on this. And we are pulling all our money from this, 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 and this. We're also funding an education program into teaching people how to behave online. But it's really not only the kids. And I say that as a mum of four, you know, I'm nearly 50. Why am I so affected by this? And I think there are many people of my sort of age group, let's say over 40, basically. We were never brought up in having to deal with any of this stuff. We're not invincible. We are absolutely breakable. And we've probably lived through quite a lot of capital L life, which makes us quite vulnerable. So I think there's a huge education campaign to make people aware of really what they do. But yeah, where are the brands who are going to lead this? Who are going to say, we're done, we're pulling our money because this is a massive problem and we want to be at the forefront of putting a stop to this.
Ellen, from your perspective.
I mean, Liz and Nishma have just nailed it. But I think the key is, again, just brands being conscious of what they're putting their money behind and really being aware of the real life impact of these kind of pylons. Because often it's not just the intensity of the language that you're seeing. It's not, a death threat versus someone just an insult. It's often the number of attacks that you're getting can really bury someone. I think just brands being aware of that and going, we're not going to stand for it, and supporting the women who are being attacked is hugely powerful.
Great. And Jake, what about you?
I think, again, yeah, the Nishma and Liz and Ellen have nailed it. But I think the one of the things is about the complexity of the supply chain now. You know, gone are the days, or at least they're not, they shouldn't be, where there was genuine partnership between brands and advertiser brands like stylists, for example. I think that we really need to rethink about, you know, the number of websites that we are just putting our brands on unconsciously. So, The ANA in the US did a study on the programmatic supply chain earlier this year. The average number of websites a particular campaign is on 44,000 websites on average. One of the Conscious Advertising Network's members found that their ads were on 184,000 websites. You know, doing any sort of due diligence or audit on that is literally impossible. So there needs to be a coming together of the advertisers and their agencies, and yes, the tech platforms, to really drive transparency through the system and take a bit more due diligence into the system to really understand where your ads are going. And it's not good enough to just be able to say, oh, I've outsourced it to a tech provider and who've got a block list, which, as you said, Nishma, you know, that actually blocks some of the great content from diverse voices, from diverse media. It needs to be done properly with proper human thought. What are your brand values? What are you wanting to fund and what are you not wanting to fund? And that could change quite a lot. I think one of the problems within the industry is there's a lot of initiatives. Currently, the IPA have got an initiative about people first, you know, people first pledge, and it's all about mental health. You know, there's been the all-in census from the Advertising Association as well. And yet, this stuff is rampant online, and AI will supercharge it, no doubt. And there is very little checks and balances around this stuff. So that's kind of what we do about with the Conscious Advertising Network is what are the standards and how do brands come together with agencies to demand transparency, proper audit, proper criteria of what is monetized. So the experiences that Liz and Ellen have, you know, yes, we're not going to stop all trolling or whatever, but I tell you what, we can stop the economic model about it. And that's what it is about. If you platform this stuff and you put advertising around it, somebody is making money. Mm. Why?
Can I just on that, because our economic model is critical, but it's also the algorithmic behaviour of content. So the reality is, you know, the Daily Mail will write a horrible article about Prince Harry again, and we'll all say, oh, they should leave them alone. And then everyone goes to read it, and it creates a huge amount of clicks. And of course, the clicks then appear in the top of titles in your buying media. And so the algorithmic approach is obviously driving that economic model. And I think that's where the bravery comes in, the detail of, you know, less is more around your media plans and a more curated approach. But I'd also say it also implies to influencer marketing as well. We're seeing a programmatic approach to influencer marketing in the same way we've done with display advertising. And it's as dangerous a space.
I think that's a really good point, and we're pretty much out of time. So one of the commitments we're going to make in this room is to work with Jake and the Conscious Advertising Network to see how we can get everybody in the industry to come together. To your point, Jake, we have amazing groups in this industry who are all working really hard on different issues, but this is one that I think needs everybody to work on together. You said it's time to be brave, be conscious, make positive choices consciously about what you're doing, and accept that our complexity of supply means you need to be really careful. You can't just leave it to others. I'm going to ask each of you, if there was one very quick thing you wanted everyone in this room to do as a result of watching this panel, big or small, what would it be? Ellen?
I'd say support the publications and the platforms that are getting it right, that are showing that they care about this issue. Obviously, I'm going to toot stylists' horn. It's fantastic, and we do exactly that. But when you see publications and brands that support this, support them.
Great. Jake?
That, so totally build on that. But also, if you're a brand, demand transparency from your supply chain. I just don't think there's that transparency there. Because if you knew what you are funding, you would start cutting out this, what has been told to me, the long tail of shit.
Perfect. I love the term long tail of shit. I'll use it for lots more things. Liz?
I don't know how you follow the long tail of shit. Well, if you could follow me on any of my socials, that would help me a lot. I'm at Liz Fraser 1. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm largely on Instagram. If you want to contact me and we can continue this conversation, I would love that. And thank you very much for listening. And I really just... It's a real risk to me to speak out and say this, because I don't know who you are and I don't know where this is going to go. So I'm putting my trust in you, because every time we speak about it, the trolls just love it. And I'm going to get a whole heck of a lot of backlash from this. So, yeah, follow me, let's have a conversation. And I really would like to just keep working with whoever wants to work to just turn this stuff off, however we do that.
Right, Nishma. Obviously, as Jake said, go back, analyse your media plans, talk to your agency and your tech partners. And most importantly, to your thing, everyone here has a voice, you have a network, go out and share, create more awareness of this issue. And I'm a big believer, and we did this very strategically at Google, and I believe in it. So, you know, this was a kind of engineering project. Put more good out there.
Yes.
If you get an opportunity to say a nice comment, to support another woman or a man or anybody else, and uplift and raise, do that. You've got a choice when you pick up your phone and do something. Do a good thing.
Great. I think that's a perfect point to finish on. We all have a choice, and let's use it wisely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.